We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Megan Gower and Daniel Mattia here, coming to you live from Bridgeport. Just wrapped up the Elite Eight here, and what a game. What a game.
Heart's still beating.
Yeah, just an absolute thriller. I mean, instant classic. I don't think there's any other way to put it. Double overtime. UConn wins, advances to its 14th straight Final Four. NC State just barely misses making it to Minneapolis. I'm still struggling to find the words. Just such a good game.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, if you watched the first half and you saw the way NC State shot, you thought it would be somewhat over, but, you know, the founder of the site, Aaron, did not give up. He looked at both of us and said, just didn't feel like NC State's out of it. They still believe, and sure enough, they did.
Yeah, they believed enough in just not one but two overtime periods. So, yeah, just it's a classic. I mean, it started out, I felt like they were trading baskets early on, back and forth first half or first quarter. UConn was up by maybe two at the end of first quarter. Sounds about right in my head, at least. Hard to remember. And then UConn really opened up a little bit of a lead at the start of the second. They started out the second quarter on a 9-2 run. Nico Mule checked in, which is throughout the season for them, just an energy changer on the floor for UConn, and they kind of got some big stops there and hit a few baskets to go up. But then Dorka Juhas goes down, gruesome injury.
Yeah,
fortunate blow for the Huskies in general. It's a really tough thing, something you never want to see happen, especially in one of these games down the stretch of the season. And I mean, the players are visibly shaken up. I think most of them were in tears alongside Juhas. A tough moment, I think, in the game. You could see it, especially in Amina Westbrook's face. She was over kind of just staying with Dorka until the training staff got over, but really, really tough.
Yeah, I kind of have goosebumps thinking about it, but I mean, I credit to UConn after it happened, though. Obviously, it would shake up anybody, but dealing with, I think, Leah Edwards had three fouls early in the third quarter. Olivia Nelson Ogoda had three fouls early in the third quarter. So they're dealing with foul trouble. They're short because they lost Dorka. Avina stepped up and played some big minutes, like, as UConn kind of had to go small because of the foul trouble. I think you can't say enough about, I feel like every UConn game, at least that I've watched with you, Kristen Williams just gets off to like the fastest start. It's something about me being in the gym, I guess. I don't know. But, she was leading all scorers for the majority of that game until kind of AZ Fudd went nuts in the fourth. And then, of course,
we're going to get to it. Yeah, I feel like Kristen's contribution to this game is going to get overlooked a little bit because, like, we're going to get to, like, what Paige Beckers did down the stretch was just incredible. But Kristen Williams came out really hot. She had 9 points at the end of the first quarter. It was really setting the tone for this team, especially on offense and on the defensive end as well, to start it off and get exactly what you want to see from your senior leader kind of down the stretch of the season here.
So yeah, getting back to how NC State started though, they got contributions from Kayla Jones, Jada Boyd, and then, I mean, the game that Shakia Brown Turner had.
Yeah.
Insane.
20 points. She hit three. Was it at the end of regulation or at the first overtime?
And the first overtime.
At the first overtime, hit the three to tie it with, I think there was 3.8 seconds left on the clock. So NC State was down three. That easily could have been the end of the game. It wasn't really even a clean look. Like, it was pretty well guarded by Fudd, and she still gets it off.
I think it was Paige.
Oh, it was Paige. Okay. That makes a little bit more sense. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know that Fudd would let her get a good enough of a good look. But, yeah, pretty well guarded. Knocks it down. Sends it. UConn doesn't even get a shot off. We're out of timeouts. They have to go the full length of court, and it sends it to the second overtime. So, huge shot from her. Like I said, 20 points on the game, 5 assists, 8 rebounds. Just an incredible game from her in general, but I feel like that shot is like the moment that you have to point to.
Yeah, I mean, it's a credit to – I mean, obviously we talked about – we're going to talk about Paige a lot. Yeah. But credit to Paige, and I mean, I know AZ was big in that double overtime too, but I mean, talk about all the momentum being on NC State's side. This is definitely the loudest arena I've ever been in my life, and – how quiet it got after that shot was made definitely blew my mind and made you realize this was sort of a home game for UConn.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the crowd was 90%, would you say, probably UConn fans? That feels about easy. Right. Yeah, I mean, it was just – the crowd was really into it, too. Shout out to Como, the SMY anchor that was sitting behind UConn's bench, though, because she had her section up on their feet, like, 10 times during this game. I was watching her sub as much as I was watching the game, and it was incredible. But, yeah, just – I mean, definitely all proud of her for UConn. I guess the part of playing in Bridgeport. Yeah.
There is something to be said, obviously, about Alyssa Kunane's game. She's been so consistent all year, and tonight she was that one consistent force probably throughout all four quarters. She may have got off to a slow start, but just always having like great footwork, being able to get the ball in, instrumental in getting UConn's bigs in foul trouble.
Yeah, and she didn't have a great start to the game, and you know, credit to her for adjusting, because I think Aaliyah Edwards' really physical defensive presence makes it really tough for an opponent's bigs in the lane, but she struggled to start against that physicality, but then came out in the second half, really adjusted to it, and was able to be a big force for NC State in the second half and also in the 2 overtime periods, which I think is exactly what you want to see from your senior center as in this game. But then also when you're looking for her, now that her season's over, to the next level, going to the WNBA, you're going to see a lot more of that physical type of pressure in the post.
Definitely.
In the WNBA. So her ability to adjust to it, I think, shows a lot about what she can do at the next level.
For sure. And I mean, if there's some glaring weaknesses, I think you point out with UConn, the only real things to me, I mean, because it was such a good game, but there has to be something said about the free throws on the stretch.
Gosh. Yes.
And I mean, I think they were 13 for 14 until the fourth quarter in overtime, where they ended up missing, I think, 8 on the game.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, they had a chance to win it in regulation. Olivia Nelson-Odota, who's a 69% free throw shooter, gets fouled, misses both back-to-back. Killer for those of you who bet the under, because obviously there are 56 points scored in overtime. Mm-hmm. Mind-blowing.
Yeah, yeah, just mind-blowing. And, yeah, I mean, you have to hit three throws down the stretch. I think we've seen so many upsets in this tournament fall short because teams do not hit free throws down the stretch, and UConn avoids it being what cost them their season in this game, but it very well could have been what cost them the season.
I mean, it's scary to think about. I mean, like, if NC State just hits another bucket in overtime and we go back to that point, then, you know, not everybody is talking about Paige Beckers, who I'm sure was trending all over Twitter today. I mean, I don't know about you, but it felt like every time she got the ball with a sliver of space, and most of her shots were off the dribble, too. They weren't easy. They were pull-ups, coming off screens. But either way, all of her shots, I felt like they were going on.
Yeah, I don't think we saw today the Paige Beckers that you saw last year and that you saw before her. The type of player you just, in those moments, it almost, like you said, you feel like you just know they're going in. It's just kind of like Gino Center made for these moments. Like, it's just different. I think Kristen Williams actually put it best. Is what they were in overtime. What Kristen Williams said she was thinking is that we have page beggars and they do.
God, yeah. It's the crazy amount of confidence that that lady has is mind blowing. And you factor that in with one of the best shooters in the planet surrounding you, maybe two of the best shooters with Crystal Williams, you want to throw her in too. I don't think you could have treated fans to a better display of basketball today. It was just all around a semi-perfect game. Gino said it sucks that, you know, one team had to lose today because both teams played so fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just a work player. Excellent game. It felt like these were two Final Four games, the kind of game that you want to see in a Final Four. It happens in the Elite Eight, but I think that's part of the women's game getting so much better if you're going to have a lot more of these type of games in the Elite Eight going forward. But yeah, I mean, I feel like you just can't say enough about what Beggars did down the stretch. 27 points. That's by far the most she's scored since coming back from injury. I feel like until today's game, I've kind of felt like she hasn't been at 100%. You see in flashes her being like the page that people have come to expect, but you haven't seen it in like a big stretch that she did today. And I mean, the overtime period, especially today, it was just like, it was the Paige Beggars takeover. Like that's ultimately what set the game.
Yeah. I mean, this had to be the most minutes she's played all season.
Oh, right? Yeah.
She hit 40 or?
44. 44 minutes. Yeah.
So, I mean, you can probably say, I mean, Gino probably said she's still not 100%, mm-hmm. but still as close as you can be. You love seeing her being able to go that many minutes. Obviously, NC State losing a lot of seniors. I don't know how it all shakes out with COVID, but obviously the program is, you know, tremendous strides from where it's been the last few years. Westmore is building something awesome. So, can't say enough great things about them. I'm going to miss seeing Raina Perez, like just a lightning bug all over the court. She's so fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely a player you hope can get this training camp spot or something and sneak onto a WNBA roster. I don't know. I'm not up on my draft yet, so I don't know how probable that actually is. But yeah, I mean, just a really fun player to watch. But yeah, I mean, a tough ending for them. But still, I feel like you can't say enough about what this NC State program has done over the last few years, especially with Canaan. I mean, three straight ACC championships, three straight Sweet 16s. They break that and get to an Elite Eight this year. Of course, it would have been better if they made it to the Final Four, but still a really phenomenal run for Canaan and the rest of their seniors. And, I mean, to go out like this, like, you can't ask for much more in terms of a basketball game.
Definitely. Now, before we end, you know, I do want to look ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will be there at the Final Four.
Getting on a plane to Minneapolis Wednesday. Very excited.
In my opinion, I guess this is hard to say because you have South Carolina on the other side, but I mean, Stanford probably maybe next to UConn, maybe next to South Carolina. I mean, I think they're the hottest team in the country right now. Haven't lost since, I don't know, January. Ran through the Pac-12, ran through the Pac-12 tournament, and haven't lost yet, obviously, in the NCAA tournament. So how do you feel about UConn's chances against this hot Stanford team?
I think Stanford is a really difficult team to beat. I agree with you. I think they are the hottest team in the country right now. I think just what makes them, I think, so unique is their size. I feel like their defense is almost like underrated in a way because they don't defend you in the way that like a South Carolina defends you or even a Utah defends you. It's not as much of like an in-your-face defense, but they just have size at every single position that allows them to be so good defensively, despite the fact I think that, you know, maybe they're not as intense on the defensive end as someone like South Carolina, for example.
Sure.
So I think that's part of it. And then also their offense is just, it has that kind of like, it's just pretty at times. I don't think there's a better way to put it. Yeah. Like it can be just pretty. I think the only weakness of the Stanford team is they still turn the ball over a lot. We saw it against Texas, had 20 turnovers against Texas in the Elite Eight. They still, like, as much as Anna Wilson has evolved this season, they've found a better answer at that point guard spot. They still just don't have a natural answer at that spot, which I think is, if you're trying to find something that's like a weakness for the Stanford team, that's it. If UConn's going to win the game, they're going to have to exploit that a ton.
Yeah, I mean, I think initial reactions after watching Stanford for so many games this year, especially like probably overanalyzing that Texas game. Anna Wilson didn't really play that much after the first quarter. I think Lacey Hole probably did the majority of the ball handling. I think this calling out big opportunity for Nico. I mean,
yeah,
like, this is a perfect opportunity for her to disrupt everything. And I mean, and she's got size at the guard spot too. So I'm excited. I can't. It's going to be hard to wait till Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be an uphill battle for UConn. Probably the sixth game in that game. I haven't done like my full analysis, but I think it's going to be a really tough game for UConn to win. I think losing Dorothy Juhas today also really helps UConn hurts UConn in that game, because they've had this ability to rotate the post players. And when you're in foul trouble, you have Dorca is an option off the bench. Losing this, and this is something Gino has said this season of why he recruited Dorca out of the transfer portal, that she was going to be kind of that difference maker between them being able to win a national championship and not. And I think it's, as much as people maybe don't see it, that her numbers aren't that flashy, like it is a huge blow for this team to lose Dorca Juhas at this point in the season.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw Avina Westbrook, you know, come in and play kind of that four spot. So it's like they'll have to do that at times if they get into foul trouble. It's weird because there's still, you know, it's just you got to play one game.
Yeah.
So anything can happen, but I'm really looking forward to it. And I know that you are to see it in person.
Yeah, very much looking forward to getting to Minneapolis. I think we're going to leave you with that today. Anything else you want to add?
No, just thankful to be at one of the best basketball games of all time.
Yeah, truly a thriller. So signing off from Bridgeport, but don't worry, the podcast will be back. Me and Gabe and lots of other faces from Minneapolis this week. So stick around. We'll be lots more coming.
Take care.